Yesterday in the Tarawih Salah, the 24th para was recited. The remaining portion of Surah Zumar was read. The para begins with this ayat, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ. Who can be a greater oppressor and who can be a greater wrongdoer than that person who forges a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To forge a lie means to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ascribe and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has children. So he forges a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disbelieves, then the abode of that person is Jahannam. And on the converse, that person who brings iman and all those things that he's supposed to be believing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regards them as the muttaqun, those that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever they will wish, they will have. This is the reward of those people who do good in this world. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the trait and the characteristic of the akhirat. When the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made, when the Quran Sharif is recited, then their hearts shy away, they constrict, they want to run away from there. And when anything else, that means futility, kufr, or sports, or anything else is mentioned, then you find them bubbly, and they find themselves in a very happy and a jovial mood. So we also should take stock of ourselves, that how far are we from how a mu'min is supposed to be, that do we really enjoy the recitation of the Quran Sharif, the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we should see now that our interest lies in these futile pursuits. In the next ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْلَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell my servants who have wronged themselves, never do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, this is that ayat of the Quran Sharif which gives the person the most amount of hope. That a person, no matter what a great sinner he may be, there's always hope for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the door of tawbah open for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him that no sin is too big for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. To never become despondent and lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read in Islah al-Aqaid the other day that to become despondent of the mercy of Allah is kufr. So no matter how great a sin a person may have committed, never should he resort to hopelessness, and he shouldn't become hopeless. He should always resort to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the medium of tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassured him with exclamation, Inna Allah, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sin. He is most forgiving, most merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with a person when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. In the next page, next ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the scene of Qiyamah when the book of deeds will be placed in front of a person. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam will be brought to bear witness. His limbs will give witness. The ground on which a person had committed good or evil deeds, these will be witness for that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now will mete out justice. He will decide with truth and with complete justice and fairness that those that have wronged and those that have been righteous. And every person will be given the recompense for what he had done. The next ruku refers to describes the two groups of people on the day of Qiyamah. Some will be led to Jahannam, and some will be led in droves, in groups, into Jannah. So this is where the surah gets its name, Zumar, that means groups. So So the kuffar will be led to Jahannam. Jahannam, the doors will be opened for them, and the gatekeepers of Jahannam will remind them, haven't our warners come to you? They have recited our ayat to you, and they have warned you of this day that you are going to meet your Rabb. And there they will have no other answer but to confirm and say, yes, definitely the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam had come to us, but we did not pay heed. And as a result of which, the Jahannam becomes the abode. On the other hand, those that had adopted taqwa, they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they will be rewarded and they will be given VIP treatment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them into Jannah. The doors will be thrown open for them. And here the gatekeepers of Jannah will congratulate them, will greet them. They say, may peace, salam be upon you. May you enjoy yourself, and now you will remain forever in Jannah. And the reply of the people of Jannah will be that all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has made true His promise to us and granted us the Jannah. فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. What a good recompense for those that have been good. The next surah on the next page is Surah Ghafir or Surah Mu'min. So Ghafir gets his name from the second ayat of this surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qualities are mentioned. So this surah is known as Hamim, and there are seven surahs that begin with Hamim in the Quran Sharif. This is the first of them. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His qualities. Ghafir al-dhanb, He is the one that forgives the sins, He accepts tawbah, He is the one that is severe in punishment, He is all-powerful, there is none worthy of worship beside Him, and to Him we all have to return. An interesting incident is mentioned about this in the books of Hadith. Hazrat, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a person that would frequent the gathering of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu from the people of Sham, from Syria. So on one occasion he found that the people of Sham have come, but this person was missing. So he asked about that person, that what has become of that person. So they replied, don't even ask, he's gone into alcohol, he's always in a drunken stupor, you very seldom find him in a sober state, and there's no hope for that person. So that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu supplicates in dua, he gets himself in dua, and he writes a letter in which he writes this whole surah, Hamim, Tanzeelul Kitab min Allah al-Aziz al-Aleem, غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. He writes the letter and he gives it to one of the people of Syria and says that when you go, wait for an opportunity where this person is complete from the sober state and hand this letter of mine to him. So when this letter is given to him in a sober state, he begins to sob and cry. He makes tawbah to Allah. He makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he becomes a great wali of his time. So we shouldn't give up on anybody and lose hope on anybody's situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have just mentioned, the doors of tawbah are wide open. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who mentions after this, said, you should not help shaitan against your brother. That means when a person has fallen into vice and sin, you should give him hope. You should tell him that the doors of tawbah are open. Don't write him off and make him feel that there's no recourse for me, there's no way out for me. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, don't help shaitan. You will help shaitan by making this person despondent. Also the fazilat, just as after Maghrib and after Fajr, we have to read Ayatul Kursi And Ayatul Kursi we read after every Salah. So after the Maghrib and after the Fajr Salat, together with Ayatul Kursi, these two ayats should also be read. Hameem Tanzeelul Kitabi Til Ilayhil Masir. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the malaika, those angels that are charged with the responsibility of carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while they are carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they and the angels that are around them are busy in the glorification, in reading tasbih, in praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one very interesting thing is that they also make dua maghfirah. They ask forgiveness on behalf of the believers. They say, Rabbana wasi'ata kulla shay'in rahmatan wa ilma. That, O our Rabb, whose mercy and whose knowledge is all encompassing, encompasses everything. They ask maghfirah for all those people that resort to tawbah and follow the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown, and they make dua for that person, waqihim azab al-jahim, and save him from the punishment of Jahannam. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter the believers, and more so those people that turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should enter them into those jannat which will remain forever and forever. They don't stop there. Those that make tawbah, the malaika make dua for them. Not only them, but their parents, their wives, and their progeny that are righteous and pious, they also make dua for them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should enter them into Jannah. And they make dua, O Allah, protect them from every type of evil, and whoever saves himself from evil, and on the day of Qiyamah, definitely you will show mercy to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that person who will get Jannah because of Iman, that is the real success. On the day of Qiyamah, everything will be perished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask this, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ, that for who does all sovereignty and kingdom belong? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will himself answer, it is for the one being who is all powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today every person will be recompensed with whatever he had earned in the worldly life, and no oppression will be done to anybody. In the following verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَلَا شَفِيعٍ يُطَاعُ. So a person who had wronged himself, he did kufr, he did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so no friend will come to his avail. No person will have the right to intercede on his behalf. That person will be doomed forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention to this. And for this we have come to the Khanqa also. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the deception of the eyes and what the heart conceal. So, person should take stock of himself and know well that when I abuse my eyes, or when I'm fantasizing and thinking of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be angry with, so we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in the deepest recesses of your heart. In the next pages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent him to Fir'aun and his people to invite them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Fir'aun saw and he feared that his people will change their religion and will follow the deen of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he threatened and he says, let me kill Musa alayhi salam. So one believer وقال رجل مؤمن. So where this surah gets another name, and that is surah mu'min. So that one believer says now, who was all the time he concealing his iman was not known to everybody else. So he comes to the defense of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and he says that, are you prepared to kill a person just for this, that he is saying that my Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas Hazrat Musa alayhi salam has brought clear proof to you from your Rabb. He has drawn clear mu'jiza and miracles to show his veracity and his truthfulness, notwithstanding the fact that he has proven himself to be a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are still not only falsifying him, you are plucking up the courage to assassinate and kill him. Why don't you leave him to himself? If he is a liar, then the punishment for his lies is on him. And if he is true, then whatever he is warning you about will strike you. In the following pages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya is with the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam as well as the believers. Inna lanansuru rusulana walladhina amanu fil hayati ad-dunya. The actual ingredient that has to be found is that the person should have iman, like how iman is supposed to be brought. And if he has iman like how it is required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in this very world the assistance and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with him. In the end of this ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summons us and says that you should supplicate and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept your duas. It is like we have done in Surah Baqarah, another ayat which echoes the same sentiment. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is himself here telling you that you make dua and I will accept it. And the next part, those people that shy away because of pride and arrogance from making the ibadat of Allah, from supplicating in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them into Jahannam. He will enter into Jahannam in a very humiliated state. Ulama mentioned there's a strong rapt and connection between fasting and dua. In Surah Baqarah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي is mentioned in between the laws of fasting, showing that a person who is a fasting person, and we all are in that state, one very important thing that we should be taking recourse to is spend a good portion of our time in supplicating in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next pages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention to His power and His qudrat and His might. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is He who has created the mountains, He has created the earth that are stable, the skies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you from sand and then from impure drop of fluid and then from a clot of blood, and then He has taken you through the different stages of infancy and then you became an adult, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with your any doing but through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for many people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led them to see ripe old age. And since it is not in our control, many people die before even reaching old age. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person should reflect on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that after you have seen the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why are you drifting away? Anna yusrafun, where you are drifting away? You're supposed to be looking at all these signs of and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in Him and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verses mentions that those people, after seeing all these signs, And after seeing the miraculous nature of the Quran Sharif, they still disbelieve, then their abode will be Jahannam, where they will be thrown with shackles headlong into Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He has created the animals for you so that you may ride on them. For example, the horses, the camels. There are many animals that you may eat from, like the camel, the cattle, sheep. You have benefits from them and you fulfill your needs from them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used them for your benefit. You can ride on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you to sail on ships, and the ships which carry loads of thousands of tons, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to remain afloat in the water. So don't you reflect, you should be reflecting on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is the surah Hamim As-Sajda. So it gets its name, it is beginning with Hamim, and since there is a Sajda ayat in this surah, it gets its name Hamim As-Sajda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incidents of Ad and Samud, which we have discussed many a times, and because of not accepting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. So one thing that they mention is that in the haughtiness, they asked, who is more powerful than us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the attention to this, that do they forget that being who has created them, so He has created the power in them, they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refuse to accept. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be reciting the Quran Sharif, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading the Quran Sharif, which itself is a miracle, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading, there could be nobody reciting the Quran Sharif in a more beautiful and a better way than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the kuffar would become afraid that people listen to the Quran Sharif and they will believe in it. So they would make a din and make a noise, and so that the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could be subdued and people would not listen to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that those that make that do this, their abode will be Jahannam, and they will see the recompense for their wrong. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they remain steadfast, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. To remain steadfast means they remain adhering to the laws of Shariat for the rest of their life. When they have declared the iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have taken an oath and a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will lead my life according to how you want me to lead my life. So they remain steadfast on that. So at the time of their death, and also on the day of Qiyamah, the malaika will descend on them and give them glad tidings and say that there's nothing for you to fear, there's nothing for you to be grieved about, and accept the glad tidings from our side that you will be enter into that Jannat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you. And the malaika tell them that we are your friends, we are your helpers in the worldly life as well as in the akhirat. And now, as you enter into Jannat, whatever your heart will wish and whatever you will ask for, it is there for you to enjoy. And this is a feast from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is most forgiving and most merciful. In the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that who can be better in his word than that person who calls toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he does righteous deeds, and he says that I am from amongst the believers. So this shows the importance of the work of da'wah. The person involves himself, just as he brings deen into his life, he makes this effort also, that he invites others also towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this da'wah could be in many forms. The person that is giving adhan, he's making da'wah. the person that he is teaching, he is also giving da'wat, and that person who is making amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar is also giving da'wat. One etiquette that is mentioned for a person who is giving da'wat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that sometimes the person who you are giving da'wat to may be an enemy to you, he may be a rude person to you, but you should approach him in such a diplomatic way, in such a humble way, such a beautiful way, that person with whom you had an enmity with, now he becomes your bosom friend. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is not a work for the weak-hearted. People that will be persevering and patient, they will be able to do this way. They will be able to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom, with kindness. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the miraculous nature of the Quran Sharif. لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the veracity of the Quran Sharif watertight. That means nobody can tamper with it, and nobody can change or interpolate and change anything in its word also and in its meaning also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself to protect the Quran Sharif from any falsehood. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. In the last ayat of the Sifara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever does any good deed, فَلِنَفْسِهِ. It doesn't benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is for his own benefit. You do any good, the benefit accrues to you. You enjoy the benefit of it. And the person who does wrong, the consequences and the harm of that will be on him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cause any oppression. He doesn't deprive anybody of anything. He does the wrong, he has to pay for it. By doing any act of righteousness, you don't benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by disobeying and doing any wrong, you don't harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The punishment and the severity, the consequence, that person himself will have to suffer.